Welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in the activities youth are involved with during non-school hours. The Making After School Cool podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education. And I'm your host, Mike Wilson. Remote learning has brought many challenges, but some students seem to be doing well under the new circumstances while others are struggling. So today's topic is keeping students motivated during COVID-19, especially those with learning disabilities. My guest today is Dr. Dan Walrath, who is an educator, professional development trainer with Habits of the Mind, writer, and feature journalist for Edutopia magazine, an award-winning publication for educators produced by the George Lucas Educational Foundation. How are you doing today, Dr. Walrath?
Hello, Mike. I'm doing well.
Great. How are you adjusting to this new normal?
Whew, I'll tell you, it's definitely a new normal. It's taking on a lot of change, adapting, and especially taking on a new mindset. Mindset not only with learning, but just being home, you know, having a family, trying to just adjust to the new world that we're in.
Exactly. The irony is, it seems like, I don't know if I'm getting used to it, but the days seem to be going a little bit faster now than they previously have been going. So it's like, wow, that's I don't know if I'm getting used to it or what.
No, I think that's the new norm for a lot of people, because I'm feeling the same way as well.
Well, for a lot of students, the school year is about to end, but there's still uncertainty regarding summer school, as well as dealing with learning loss since they've been removed from their traditional classroom. So I really appreciate you taking some time to provide strategies and ideas on how parents, as well as teachers who are instructing remotely, can work to keep students motivated. And this brings me to my first question. What inspired you to write your recent article, Keeping Students with Learning Disabilities Motivated at Home?
It's a really good question. It's one of those things where I always put myself in the shoes of others, especially with the students I teach. It ranges from all types of disabilities. And, you know, as an individual growing up, I had anxiety and I always felt overwhelmed. So I try and put myself back into the learning environment and put myself into that position. And, you know, just thinking about the students and what they're going through is a lot different from when I was in school. There's just so much out there today, social media, new developments. And, you know, our world is changing at an ever growing pace. And it's just rapidly turning into something we never envisioned. This is unprecedented. So it's one of those things to where I felt I needed to get the word out and try and help students, especially with learning disabilities, cope with anxiety, being overwhelmed, but most importantly, adapting, because this is really hard to adapt to right now. And it's one of those things where there's really not one fit for everybody. Everybody takes on a different way of attacking this, new way of learning, this new approach to life, and some handle it better than others. Some are better online, others do really well within the classroom environment. So it's keeping the fire going, which is important for me to try to instill in learners, especially students with learning disabilities, and giving them the opportunity to learn things about themselves just in general. I think this is a great time for them to learn about themselves and the way they operate and trying to bring out their best self in life.
Well, since the traditional school day schedule and routines are no longer in place, what are some strategies parents and teachers can use to keep students motivated, especially those with learning disabilities?
Well, number one, I think the most important thing to do is schedule, especially for students with learning disabilities. Having them on a routine, you know, is really important for these students. So I think it's very important from the time they wake up in the morning to the time they're done at the end of the day, that they do have a schedule that they follow. But most importantly, they need to have breaks in between, which we'll get to later. It's also important that they have rooms in the house for going to where they can decompress, they can de-escalate, They can take breathers. That's really important. And one thing I found in particular for my children at home is that, developing a me station, which is, I also think is important for just everybody, having that area within the house where you could go and work, you could keep your notes, you keep your books, you reflect. It's kind of like you can kind of liken it to a locker at school, where it's theirs. It's their spot. It's where they keep who they are. So I really, really like to get that out there, not just for, my kids at home, but for children across America. I just think it's really important that they have a me station. And one thing I found that I'm doing with my students is that when they do this, I have them share their ideas about their stations and what it looks like, how it's making them better students, how it's making them better learners, because they're actually taking on the role. If you think about it, they're taking on the role of somebody actually out at a job. And I think that's really important to get in that mindset. It's school is school. We know that, but, for them to get in that mindset at home is really hard. So trying to keep their personal space where they can work best is really, really important.
Because last year, my daughters actually got their own room. So they're sleeping in their own rooms. And it seems like this, since we've been doing this quarantine, the fact that they have their own space has been somewhat of a calming and a relaxing thing for them. So whenever it seems like they're feeling overwhelmed, they just both go to their rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And lots of times it doesn't even have to be the bedroom. It can be an area of the house where they might better work. It could be the basement. It could be the kitchen table. It could be a place over in the corner, whatever works for them. But I find that to be really important, having a me station. And one more strategy that really works well is the walking classroom. And I think I talked about that in the article with Edutopia. The brain is more active when you're moving. The neurons and the synapses are clicking. The brain's just more, it's more inclined to take in information, to retain information. So lots of times, even at school, when I was in school, I would have something called the walking classroom where I would walk with my students in the hallway. We'd review vocab. We'd brainstorm ideas, talk about novels, talk about problems being solved, and then just talk about things outside of life. And it was really eye-opening to see that being outside in the fresh air, during the winter times, it would be in the hallways, but it's one of those things to where they're out there and they're not set in their seats. So I'm trying to carry that over right now to where we are right now. So I really, really stress the importance of kids getting out there and taking on the studying, why they're actually out in the fresh air. I mean, it doesn't have to be intense studying, but we're talking about little things like vocabulary words, talking about word problems that they're going over in math. And for students with a learning disability, this gets the brain moving. And for a lot of them, especially students with ADD and students with ADHD, they're moving at the same time that they're learning. So that's one strategy I find and I try to push out into a lot of the with parents and students just in general.
So taking movement breaks, not only does the body well, it actually helps the students with learning, right?
Oh, yes. Very much so. Very much so. But it has to be intentional. That's one thing. I always stress the importance of that. If we're going for a walk or we're going to move, there needs to be some intention behind that. So if you're feeling overwhelmed and you need to go for a walk and just clear your mind, that's cool. If you are going into an assignment and you're like, this assignment, it's not going to work well with me sitting down at the table. Let me take this outside for 15 minutes. I'm going to walk around the neighborhood and I'm going to brainstorm some ideas, some notes for this assignment. Then come back, take a little break, and then, after the break's done, start at the table. So, again, it varies. And that's the really neat part is you could be creative with it, too.
So what are some best ways for parents and teachers to deal with students who frequently procrastinate regarding doing their schoolwork?
That's a really good one. Procrastination is the tough part with this. time in life right now. It's I'm finding a lot of it is just getting worse and worse, especially with high school students. You know, you try to give them their freedom and try to give them a longer leash than the elementary school students, but you know, I think it's one thing where all of us can fall into that trap of procrastination. So one thing I've developed and I've really worked on with my students is that it's okay to procrastinate, but we need to be effective with that procrastination. So what I suggest is something called strategic procrastination. So one of the things I always tell them to do is at the beginning of the week, make a list of the assignments, whether it be on a piece of paper, on a whiteboard, something to where you can actually see it every day. You could cross it off when you're done, but it's always there as a reminder. So I always have them select two different categories: the activities they dread and the activities that they don't mind. So the ones they dread are the ones they're probably going to procrastinate with, which we all know. And what they do is they spend, and this is really, it's important that parents are proactive with it, with this strategic procrastination. So it's important that parents guide students to this paper, this whiteboard, whatever they're using, and making a list of the assignments, that they take them there each day and they try to encourage students to do at least 10 minutes of work on it, whether it be talking about it with them, taking notes, doing a little bit each day, and frequently coming back to that the next day to see what they did the day before that. So it's one of those things, step by step throughout the week, and at the end, you want to have a finished product. Depending on what that product is, depends on the amount of time they spend each day, but there should be something visual for them to always look at with the assignment and have in mind and be brainstorming about that. Because the more they see it, the more it stays on their mind.
Well, let me ask you, what are the benefits for kids to have time to reflect on their learning? And are there some ways parents can be proactive to make sure the students are doing that?
Reflection is something that a lot of people don't do. I've learned over the years, reflection has helped me, and it's really made me an effective person just in general. You know, in life, as an educator, as a continual learner, I learn a lot from reflection, and I feel that parents at this time have a really, really important role with trying to get their children to reflect. So what I suggest is that with reflection, 10-5-10 rule. For 10 minutes in the morning, whether it be when the students are eating breakfast, whether it be when they are kind of just getting into their daily routine, whether they're listening to the radio, on Twitter, Facebook, whatever they're doing, but at some point in the morning before they start their day, they take 10 minutes and they write down notes and reflect on what they need to get done for the day. You know, how they're feeling, breaks that they want to take, when they want to take breaks, what they need to do, what they did yesterday that they need to complete. It's really quite simple. It's not a lot of work on their end. It's just a little bit of thought. And then they get going, and halfway through their day, maybe around lunchtime, they take 5 minutes to kind of evaluate where they are. You know, are they feeling good? Do they feel they need more time to relax throughout the day? Do they feel that they need to improve upon work that they did earlier? What do they need to get done? What did they get done? Then that 5 minutes, whether it be before lunch or after lunch, is a very, very good time to evaluate their success at that point. And then at the end of the day, they take that last 10 minutes to think about what they've accomplished, what they need to do the next day, and even the fun stuff coming up. You know, I mean, we're trapped in our houses now. You know, we do get out and we do walk, you know, and we're trying to get out as much as we can, but it is hard. So even looking forward to the fun things, whether it be, you know, at the end of the day, you're reflecting and you're thinking, oh man, I have this to do tomorrow. I have that to do tomorrow. But you know what? I can watch this movie tonight. So try to have some positivity and try to stay optimistic in those, in that reflection. But reflection is really, really important because it makes it easier for you as a person in general to be a better learner, a better person, a better thinker.
Yeah, and I think, you know, now that everything is so different, it was always easy for us to ask, you know, how was your day today? It's a little bit more challenging because the days have sort of been somewhat the same. Yeah. We haven't really done too many different things. So I think having kids sit back and reflect is really a good exercise for them. Absolutely. One thing you do speak a lot of is practicing mindful hyperfocus. Can you describe what that is?
Absolutely, yes. Hyperfocus is getting rid of all the distractions, getting to a spot where you're going to have the ability to put forth energy solely on one thing, and that's it. There have been some students that I've talked to. I have a lot of Zoom meetings, one-on-one meetings with my students, and I talk to them about this, and I say, when you are hyper-focusing, what are you doing? Where do you go? So an example would be this. I had a student that was working on reading a chapter and answering questions afterwards, study guide questions. And he said, what I do is I go to an area of my house. For instance, I go into my closet. I have a big closet in my bedroom. Shut the door, and I tell myself I'm going to take 20 minutes, read the chapter, and answer the questions. So they set a timer for 20 minutes on their phone, and they do nothing but read and answer the questions when they're done. And when the timer goes off, if they're done, great. If not, they can take a break. But what I'm finding is this, Mike, is that a lot of these students, when they start the hyperfocus, which is just one thing that you're focusing on, and that's it, they get into a flow. And that's the beauty of it, is that a lot of these students are saying when they are hyper-focusing and that timer goes off, they just turn the timer off and they keep going. I had another student that said when he was hyper-focusing on his writing, he set the timer for 15 minutes. And he got in that state of mind. He got in the flow, the state of mind of being in a flow. And he just kept going. And he worked for 2 hours on his assignment. And he was blown away by it. So it's one of those things that some, you know, it's decreasing the distractions, setting a timer, getting to an area where you're comfortable, and just focus. That's it. It's very, very helpful.
Well, I'm going to kind of flip the script a little bit. Now that kids are doing so much virtually, connecting with their friends as well as during their school assignments, what's the need for students to take sensory breaks?
Oof, that one is... That one's unique because it's different for everybody in general. I mean, even myself, I take sensory breaks. So you're saying to yourself, when you take a sensory break, you're saying, what is going to help you stay focused? What is going to keep you in a healthy mind and a healthy self? So these sensory breaks, everybody has different stimulations and things that work best for them. So what I find is that these sensory breaks are so important for students with anxiety, for students with ADHD, for students who just feel overwhelmed. So some examples are fidget spinners. Fidget spinners help me when I think. So when I feel like I'm overwhelmed with something or I need to stay more focused, I'll get a fidget spinner. And I'll fidget spin that. Other people like stress balls. Weighted blankets for breathing. That, for some reason, that compression on your chest releases a lot of the tension. Stretch bars, whether it be a pull-up bar, whether it be some bar in your house, just hanging from that stretch bar. So it depends on the person, but it's a sensory break. So anything to make you more of a healthy self and of a healthy mind.
Well, before we close this episode, are there any final comments you would like to leave for our listeners?
I think for a follow-up is everybody should use this time to find out about themselves, not only about their, you know, themselves just in general, but their skills, their chronotypes, you know, like what's the most optimal time to wake up in the morning, and what's the most optimal time to be effective? You know, some people work better in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night. Figure out things about yourself. Figure out sleep patterns, you know, persistence, your habits. I just feel like this time that we have, we need to embrace it, and we need to be optimistic with it. All right, I think those are some final thoughts. So take advantage of it and be positive.
Well, Dr. Walroth, I really do appreciate you taking some time to join us on this Making After School Cool podcast. You brought up some excellent points that parents as well as teachers who are teaching remotely can use, especially with those students that do have learning disabilities. Sometimes I think we take for granted, or we forget that how difficult the teaching profession actually is. And now that we're having to do it so differently than the past, we're really out there looking for new ways that can actually continue to help our kids learn. So I really appreciate the advice and the suggestions and the input that you've given us today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, Mike. I really appreciate you having me.
And I'll continue to talk with you, possibly do some follow-up podcasts on topics similar to this. And I just want you to stay safe, and we'll definitely stay in touch soon.
Okay, same to you. Good talking to you.